We've been looking on these Sunday evenings at the character of God that we see from the get-go in his words. And there are promises and great encouragements from this word centuries and centuries ago that are going to be as true for you and for me on October the 14th. That's your Monday, this time, a.m., tomorrow, that we want to hear from God's word. But so that it makes sense, this word all about this story, all about Hagar, a woman and her son Ishmael, I'm just going to set the scene for this evening's reading. You might have never heard the story before of Hagar. And the story to make sense, we need to know that Hagar was the servant of Sarah, who is the wife of Abraham. Abraham, a key figure in three world faiths, is something like a founding father, or certainly an extremely important character in Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. He's received a promise from God that he's going to become the father of many children who are going to become many nations. So if you flick back to chapter 15, verse 4, if you don't believe me, it's there, God's promise to him. The problem is that he's 86 years old. His wife, Sarah, or back in chapter 15, Sarai, as she was called, is also well beyond childbearing age. It looks like this promise is not going to be fulfilled. So Sarai comes up with an intriguing plan. Chapter 16 suggests that her husband sleeps with her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar. It's like her plan B to help out God. He does. Hagar becomes pregnant. Chapter 16, verse 4, starts to despise Sarah, who she's meant to be serving. So Sarah wants to throw her out pregnant to the desert. It's the first time in Hagar's life, a key moment where God meets her. Hagar gets to know God in a whole new way. Now, this is 14 years on in chapter 21. Ishmael, her son, that's his name, he's been born. Abraham's now 100. He's just had a son, miraculously, called Isaac. And this is what happens next. If somebody is happy to read, don't worry about any pronunciations. We don't exactly know, maybe, how some of the words, the names are called. It's chapter 21, verses 8 to 21. Thanks, Ruth.
The child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac." The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the maidservant into a nation also, because he is your offspring." Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down nearby, about a bow shot away, for she thought, "I cannot watch the boy die." And as she sat there nearby, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of the Lord called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt.
Thank you. Now, this is a painful thing I'm going to invite you to think about. In what ways do you and I, can we empathize with, relate to Hagar? Here's some things that have happened to her. She has been utterly rejected. She is the outsider. She has been treated in an inconceivably impossible way, being treated by Sarai, who becomes Sarah, back in chapter 16, basically without her consent, essentially to become a surrogate mother. Then she's been chucked out. In what ways have we experienced, in totally different ways, but nevertheless under this title, a painful title of rejection, of fearing and sobbing and crying as though everything is going wrong. We all have our own experiences of this. In France, the word for the foreigner is l'étranger, at the base of which is étrange, which means strange. The stranger is someone who is strange and who is estranged. Hagar, as an Egyptian maidservant, is a stranger, estranged from the family who she was working for, who she did her best by in so many ways. Have you ever felt like a foreigner, an outsider? We all have. It's a painful memory, one we'd perhaps like to bury away. For some, it's in the playground of school when sports teams were picked, and if that wasn't our thing, and we were the last one standing, you feel like a stranger. You'll have your own, as I have my own, memories of being this, when the rejection letter comes from the interview that we'd been longing to have that job, we feel the estranged one. Even worse, when we don't hear anything from the interview we were hoping for. In so many ways, rejection happens. What is the thing that I think deep down humanity, you and me, Hagar, needs? I think if there's one thing we need, and it's the underlying message of this passage, what God gives, what C.S. Lewis called the God-shaped hole in our souls, in every one of us. As somebody put it, we all need a good listening to. Everyone can be heard in one way, but isn't it an amazing gift to have someone in your life who listens to you, like really listens, who pays attention? It's a rare, rare thing because it's quite costly to listen. If you know anything about listening, you'll know that you can get exhausted by it, especially if the person you're listening to actually starts to abuse that, and it just gets exhausting. But what a gift it is to be listened to. Everybody needs a good listening to. Do you know what I mean? It's why we say in English to pay attention to someone, because you pay something because it costs something. You'll know this if you've ever listened to anybody. The French for to listen to is écouter, which at its heart has the word coût, which means, that's two French words, you're getting your money's worth tonight, which means cost. There is a cost. Here's the thing. God pays the cost. He pays attention. He pays attention to Hagar. Nobody's listening. She is in the desert. We all know our own deserts. She's in a literal desert. He pays attention to her. Verse 16, she sat there nearby. She's waiting for her son to die. She began to sob. God hears it. Verse 17, God heard the boy, that's her son, he's 14, crying. God is the one who hears, who listens, who pays attention. And not simply to say they're there, but to actually make a difference. Over the last 26 years, I've sought out always to have some of you I call a mentor. Some people call them a soul friend. Some people call them a spiritual director. It could just be a friend. Somebody who I go to, who I trust as a safe person, not just to listen well, but the word mentor means literally to lead, who I consider somebody worth listening to myself, to give me their take on what I come with. This is a great gift. And there's a lot of listening skills which I'd like to get better in. But the one person I don't seek is an expert who's just got a load of listening techniques. I know what people mean when they say, I hear what you're saying. But I mean, I don't really like it, partly because it's often followed by but. You know, I just don't really like that. I really do look for somebody to fill the hole in my soul who does hear what I'm saying, but I don't need them to say, I hear what you're saying. Do you know what I mean? Perhaps I'm alone on that. Here's the thing. God really does hear what we're saying. And he is our mentor who does listen to indulge us. So we just go on and on wallowing, but who comes to with his healing listening to lead us into a better place. This is what he does for Hagar. Centuries and centuries ago, it's what he wants to do for you and for me tomorrow, and indeed any other date you like. It doesn't have to be just October the 14th. There's three practical lessons for your October the 14th and mine that I want to try and put into practice. The Word of God is always about putting things into practice, not just hearing nice theories. Lesson number one from this. Learn from the mistakes causing the tragedy behind this story. If you look at it closely, one human trait that comes up throughout it, if you do a little bit more studying of chapter 15 and 16, is the habit that Hagar has, that Ishmael has, that Abraham has, that actually I think everyone has, of looking down on other people. 21st century way of saying that, subconscious bias. Pregnant Hagar looks down on childless Sarah. Sarah, the boss, looks down on arrogant but maidservant Hagar. Abraham just goes along with it. Ishmael looks down on Isaac and his ancient, like very ancient mother. Sarah looks down on them both and tells her husband to send them out to die. There's a lot of looking down on people. Did you get this? A welcome to the human race. There's a lot of looking down that goes on in the human heart. James 1, verse 23 likens God's word to a mirror. And anyone who listens to the word but doesn't put it into practice, he says, is like someone looking at their own reflection and forgetting what they look like. Don't do this. A lesson of Hagar's story is this is the human heart. God is in the business of listening to and healing. He heals the heart that looks down. God is the only one qualified to look down, but he does so in order to heal and to save. I think it's part of humanity. Scripture calls it sin, that we can look down on others to rubbish and ignore. In this case, to essentially send out Hagar and her son to their death. Everyone thinks they're perfectly justified. Hagar really was unkind to wound the pain of Sarah's childlessness. You might know about that. Ishmael really was arrogant to make fun of Isaac. Sarah really was pretty awful to send Hagar out to die, and so was Abraham going along with it. God would have washed, could have washed his hands of them all. Lesson number one from this story. Let God bring his healing listening to you, to me, to heal us. Lesson number two, do what Hagar does. Bring your crying to God. Not least the crying about the ways when we recognize them. When God holds up his mirror to what we're really like and looking down on whoever we look down on. Bring your crying to God, not your polite prayers, your religious scripts, my elegant phrases. God hears the boy crying, verse 17. He hears Hagar, verse 16, sobbing. A beautiful thing about the Psalms is that these are God teaching us how to pray. What he's really saying is, for God's sake, be real. And not only for God's sake, but for your sake. Because when we are real with God, God becomes real to us. That's who a good mentor is, or a spiritual director, or a soul friend, or a counselor, or a friend. You can be real with them, you know? And God is saying, lesson number two, on our October the 14th, find someone we can be real with, because this is who God our Father wants to use to minister to us. And sometimes it's in the desert place, the place of crisis, where everything's gone wrong, that we come into a new level of our relationship with God, who's our Father in heaven, who loves us as we really are and shows himself as he really is. There will come a day, Revelation 21, verse 4 promises it, when he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. In the meantime, said Jesus, on this earth you will have trouble. Bring it. We are invited to bring it to God. We bring ourselves to him, and he doesn't indulge us. He is in the business of healing us. Recognize, lesson number one, recognize where we're really needing his help, not least in our hearts. Lesson number two, get really real with him. Final lesson from this story that I really want to put into practice. The listening of God, the gift of God, is always through his listening to confer great dignity and honor. And look what he gives to Hagar, great significance. He's promising Hagar that her son is going to be made into, verse 18, a great nation. Both she and he have got a great purpose in God's sight. God wants to say that to you and to me. Not just to make us feel good, but because it's true that he prepared good works in advance for you to do. And he wants to give you and me a good listening to, so that we really hear and listen to his words in the place of rejection, in the place where we feel like the étranger, the estranged one who nobody loves, who is insignificant. No, that's a lie. You have great significance. This is what he's saying to Hagar. It's massively healing. He doesn't just say it. He's not just hearing what she's saying. He means it. And in this instance, he makes a way for Hagar and her son to survive. It's a very practical listening. That's a great thing that friends do. They don't only ask the question that God asks, what's the matter? They actually do what they can to make a difference. God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. God gave her that. God is in the business of listening to us and helping us. That's his purpose, to help us fulfill all his purposes for us. Verse 20, God was with the boy. You see, on our October the 14th, God wants to go with us. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, wrote the disciple of Jesus, Simon Peter. It's 1 Peter 2, verse 9. That's our significance as God's people. That you might declare the praises of your own brilliance and look down on others. No, not declare those praises. No, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. How are you going to do that? How am I going to do that on my October the 14th? I can't. God knows. And as God was with the boy as he grew up, God is with us. The great listener doesn't look down on us from on high. He comes alongside. Listening happens one-on-one. And if you think of all the one-on-ones Jesus had recorded in the Gospels, never once is it recorded that he yawned or he looks away or went into a daydreaming. And the reason that none of those things are mentioned is because it never happened. And the great listener who Jesus was, and through his Holy Spirit living in other people, still is. The great listener treats that person. Do you know this? Like you're the most important person on earth. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And that's how Jesus' one-on-ones are felt. Not to indulge them so they could look down on others, but so we could receive more of his heart, the heart of the God who was with us as he was with the boy. That's why Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, literally, the one called alongside. That's the word Jesus uses. And the one who's called alongside. Alongside is where the best listening happens. We can't do this on our own because our heart isn't like Jesus. And we need him with us, the one who listens to us and heals us. That we are able in all the difficulties of our October the 14th and every day of our lives. We need him, the one alongside us, that we can declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. As we finish this service with a time of worship, I'm going to stand just over there. And we sometimes do this at All Saints, that we offer the oil of anointing. It is a sign of God's Holy Spirit. And if you're October the 14th, whatever that looks like, you know you need the help of the God with you in whatever your situation is. And if it would mean something to you, you can come forward and I will sign you with the oil of anointing with a cross on your forehead and pray simply that God would be with you. And I'll say if you are the only one coming forward, please feel free to do so. And if lots of people come forward, but it's really not for you, just feel free not to do so. This is if you just have a sense in your heart that Jesus really wants you to hear that he is the one who has great significance for you, that you really need to know that you belong to him, that he really pays attention. And this is true. He does so even with his blood shed on a cross. Then come forward if you'd like to. As the worship band just come behind me, would you like to stand? Father God, as you saved, as you listened to, as you led these people called Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael, centuries ago, with all their flaws and with all their gifts, so would you lead us, you the great God who listens, who cares, who provides. Anoint us to be your chosen people in our days. Amen.